This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me back in the JPR studios, the Barr Brothers, Andrew Barr, Brad Barr, Sarah Page. I recognize all three of you, though the band is bigger than it was last time. Who else have you brought in this time around?
Well, we have Joe Grass playing banjo right now. He's been playing pedal steel and guitar with us. We have Morgan Moore on the bass, and we also have our friend Leif Vollebeck on vocals. Leif's been opening all the shows for us lately, and I think that's everybody. Roll call.
Welcome to all of you. We've got a full room for sure. Let me start by throwing a relatively big question out there that I don't know that there is a short answer to. As a band that has American members, Canadian members based in Canada, why is there so much amazing Americana coming from Canada? It's Americana, not Canadiana, but yet you guys seem to be killing us when it comes to putting out great Americana music. Mm. What's going on? What is the scene like up there that is causing so much great music to come out of Canada?
Well, I think there's a great community up there, a great sort of sharing of ideas and people. It's a small city, and the sort of Anglophone music scene within it is even smaller. So, and to me, that's kind of the spirit of that music is this, you know, shared common experience. And everyone's kind of poor, so they can't afford a ton of nice gear. So the sort of lo-fi's the whole thing out anyway.
The Barr Brothers are live in the studio today. Their new album is called Sleeping Operator. How long ago did this band start to really formulate?
Right around the time we released the first record,
yep.
Which actually was spring of 2010, although it was re-released about a year and a half later by our record label. But when we put the record out on our own the first time, that's when Andres Vial joined the band. He's not with us on this tour, but it's when he joined the band. It's when we started kind of thinking of ourselves as a band.
The instrumentation that you've got, we talked a little bit about this last time you were here a couple of years ago. Not a lot of bands bring in a full concert harp. This was kind of a fortuitous meeting where Sarah was your neighbor, right?
Exactly.
You just heard the sound of it coming through the wall.
Yeah.
What made you think that it might work with the music that you were creating or were thinking about creating?
Hmm.
Because it definitely works.
Yeah, I mean, I had no reason not to think it would work. Although, at this point, I know just how much work it is. I mean, not just the loading of the harp, but like, you know, finding a way. It's like working with any instrument. It's got its possibilities and its limitations, and we're still kind of learning that. But luckily, Sarah's up for it, and it's just sort of a matter of, you know, throwing a lot of stuff at the wall and seeing what hangs out.
Well, it's an instrument that's got African roots, and some of that influence makes its way into some of the songs on your new album. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. When you were last here, which was 2012, you talked about, I was listening back to this last night in prepping for today, you talked about how most of the songs for Sleeping Operator were already done when you were here last in 2012. How many of those songs ended up on the final cut? You're going to look at the track
Let's
list?
See. Yeah, I'm going to look here. Well, I know Even the Darkness Has Arms we've had for a little while. Little Lover we've had for a little while. Maybe England, Please Let Me Let It Go. Probably just under half of them were songs we'd been testing on the road. But this is only a fraction of the tunes we tried to record for the record. We ended up recording about 35 to 40 songs just by virtue of not necessarily knowing what the best sort of outfit was for this band. Like by the time we were going in the studio with this, we've been traveling a lot, but we're still experimenting with what was going to work and what wouldn't work. And fortunately, everything kind of sounds good to us, so it was hard to choose. But most of what came out on the record is kind of live feel, you know, pretty much what was live off the floor with a little bit of tweaking.
Well, let's hear a little bit of what worked. It's the Barr Brothers live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Sleeping Operator. What do you want to play first?
This one's called Valhalla's. We rarely play it, so it seems like a good place to try it out. Bow and arrow, no wind, happened the dawn light where everything begins. No direction but a steady drum over the treetops. Put my knuckle on the sun.
Oh, mama, I cannot say that I'm not affected by your orange blossom waves. Took aim, spoke low, backed up to the west and let that little arrow go. Valhalla, wanna name you. Old relations in the valley wanna claim you. There's no pill that will satisfy your need to work and my need not to deny. I can moan like a dog and kick like a mule. Say I've been sleeping well, that wouldn't be true. I'm good like a fish on a telephone line. Rounders and powders and fine Spanish wine. Oh, darling, I'm still awake. Shadows on the wall where the dawn wants to break. And this old mattress where we used to lie. Heaven knows it's empty and I'm still on my side. Oh, mama, cannot say that I'm not affected by those old-fashioned ways. Some blood, some bone. Something so sweet about the air back home. Some name it, some blame it. Some would rather see it go while others want to claim it. But every jewel that you find, every glass you drain and every watch you wind. I can moan like a dog and kick like a mule. Say I've been sleeping well there. Telephone line, rounders and powders and fine Spanish
That is the Barr Brothers live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Sleeping Operator. Brad Barr, Andrew Barr, and company. It is a full room. Five, sometimes six people here in the studio today live. We'll have audio from today's live session as well as some photographs courtesy of Dominic Barth at our website, ijpr.org. So after the self-titled album came out a couple of years ago, you guys did a lot of touring. And I probably can't state that enough. You toured a lot. What did you learn about your music, the cohesiveness of the band, the multitude of influences that were part of the band as a result of playing that many times together out on tour?
Well, you know, playing the songs live, it's kind of like, maybe you could liken it to like writing a speech for your buddy's wedding and you kind of think you know exactly what's going to slam dunk and what's going to bring the tears, and then you get it in front of an audience and it's kind of the complete opposite sometimes. And so playing the songs live, definitely in front of an audience, is, it reflects, they kind of tell you what to do. So a lot of the songs, when they're being written, you know, you end up having lifts in places you wouldn't have written into the song if there wasn't an audience there. And so that happens a lot. And we just really, the first record was kind of made haphazardly, where Sarah would come to the studio, Brad and I were working on these songs, friends would drop in. It was kind of just done really piecemeal over a couple of years. And then when we went to make this new record, we, you know, had done so much touring together that the band had kind of gelled in a way that we wanted to capture. So that was definitely a big change from the first album.
I read online that you had lost a fair bit of gear along the way. What is there a story there, or was it just little bits and pieces here or there?
I think it was just bits and pieces. I was just making a, or whoever wrote that bio was making a reference to, as you're out there touring, you're kind of leaving a trail of stuff behind. I mean, on this tour, I've
pick up new,
you find new things.
Pawn shops yield space in the van that has to get created somehow.
It is a bit of a Tetris puzzle to get all of your stuff in the van.
You saw that, yeah.
Yeah, each and every day. When you're at home and preparing to go out on the road again, do you literally look at everything that you've got in the arsenal and say, okay, yay to that, nay to that, we need that, we can pass on that? Or do you just grab everything and start stuffing until you run out of room?
Yes, B.
Yeah, the second? Yeah. I mean, literally to the rafters of the van was just packed with all sorts of different things.
I'll tell you, I can arrange the heck out of my kitchen cupboards now.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you had recorded something like 35 or 40 songs mm-hmm. for this album, many of which were even to a degree done when your first record came out. You're out on tour so much. When do you have time to be crafting all of these songs?
Well, we spent from about April 2013 till April 2014 making this record. And a lot of that time we actually did take off the road. I think the winter of 2013 into 2014, we were not touring a lot. We just kind of went full crazy. We just kind of dove into the thing and got obsessed about it. And I don't know if you're, it's like trying to, yeah, it's, you feel like you're writing a novel or a movie or something, you know, trying to find the right statement and what's going to balance the whole thing out can be really tricky. So we kept recording, and, you know, because really enjoy recording. That's the fun part.
A lot of bands have a sonic palette of, you know, a dozen colors, couple dozen colors. With everything that you guys have going on, it's like 100 colors. So do the songs gestate from a lyrical idea, or do they come from a combination of sounds that you all discover together?
Both, for sure. Yeah. And some dreams too, also sort of yield some songs. But a lot of it is just is me considering these instruments, considering these people, and thinking what would be fun. And then the other part of it is just sort of fishing for good lyrics and good melodies. Yeah, the fun part is arranging it, you know, together too. That's really good times.
How come you call the record Sleeping Operator?
It was the name of a song that didn't make the record, and it was supposed to be the opening song for a while, and that was the name of that song. It was sort of an ode to the our own internal master of sleep.
But what you ended up with, though, was a kind of an instrumental introduction to the record, which, if I understand right, was sort of the second half of a medley thing that you would do live on stage with, what, like a Woody Guthrie song or something
exactly,
like that?
Yeah. It was that was the sort of ostinato to a version of Who's Gonna Shoot Your Pretty Little Foot. And we recorded that song, and Sarah just came up with this way to transition from that into Love Ain't Enough. So instead of putting both the songs on the record, we just kind of took it from the end of Who's Gonna Shoot Your Pretty Little Foot and made that the beginning of Love Ain't Enough.
The Barr Brothers are my guests today, live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record is called Sleeping Operator. What do you want to do next?
This one's called Half Crazy. And let's see. Can I tell you about it? I'll just sing it.
ever crazy. Clear as a bell.
That is the Barr Brothers live here on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune called Half Crazy from the new record Sleeping Operator. Just before the tune, I mentioned the West African influence. Here's a band that's made up of Americans and Canadians making music that sounds like it could come from the Malian desert. Oh. There is a connection, Bradis, if I understand, to your dad, in a way. Why there is an African influence to some of the music you make.
Well, yeah, our dad is a dentist in Providence, Rhode Island, and Brown University brought some guys over from Mali to teach drum and dance classes at Brown, and a couple of these guys needed a dentist, and they just found my dad in the Yellow Pages, and some of them couldn't afford to pay the full price, so he made a trade if they gave his son's drum lessons and maybe occasionally a dance lesson. Then he fixed their teeth. He made a trade that way. And I think Andrew was probably 10 years old with this gigantic djembe. That was our introduction to the people and the music of Mali and West Africa. And you know, as when we moved to Montreal, it's not a Sarah had been exploring the kora. These guys here, I mean, I guess just through the path of mining deeper and deeper into these music and cultural traditions, you inevitably are going to come to this music. They're sort of the roots of so much of what we do and what we hear.
And there's this rhythmic pattern that's really prevalent in a lot of West African music that's triplet based, but they're not quite even triplets.
Yeah.
Does that take some unlearning to get away from making them all even to making them somewhat uneven?
I guess, yeah, I guess maybe there is some unlearning going on. You're kind of just trying to find that.
Because there's a hitch to it.
Yeah, there's a million, you know, you basically have two different, you got two beats, boom and boom, and in between those, you know, it can be a myriad of different, time can be felt so many ways in between two different pulses. And so I think that's something that in the West African tradition, there's not just a six and a four. There's a gazillion different grooves in between, anywhere from, you know, a cha 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 cha. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and sing 10 million options, but I think there's a something that happens when you're kind of staying in between the grid that kind of makes it helps really. It's just a really relaxing, creative way to play rhythm, you know, to have every measure be different and be able to guide the time by keeping it open-ended.
So a little less about the beat and more about the journey to get to the next one.
Yeah, and keeping it loose. Everybody plays better when the time feels loose, at least in this band.
When you were last in, Brad, you had done both live and when you were here in the studio, you had done this really interesting trick with string that was wrapped around a guitar string that you had learned from Turf to High Dukes, right?
Yeah.
Are there new sonic tricks that you guys are pulling out for the new record and out on tour, or new instruments that you're starting to incorporate that you hadn't before?
Well, certainly having Joe on pedal steel and Morgan on upright and electric is a major shift in the landscape of the live show. Not just their instruments, but the guys playing those instruments. There's a wide openness, a lot of shared language, and a lot of sort of willingness to dive into the abyss together. As far as actual instruments and techniques, I got this one. That's sometimes I use that. Sarah's been taping up the harp, putting tape on the strings to make it a sort of tighter percussive sound.
It sounds a bit more like a kora that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Andrew still got the bike wheel going.
It still fits in the van.
Still smacking that thing. Still trying to wrap my head around the string concept. Still trying to find ways to employ it without failing at it.
The Barr Brothers are live here in the JPR studios. The new album is called Sleeping Operator. Before I let you go, I want to hear another song, but also a question about The Slip. Because one of the songs that made it on this record, Love Ain't Enough, dates all the way back to The Slip days. Yeah. Is The Slip still a band that is currently functioning, or is it on hiatus, or...
How did you know that song was from The Slip days?
I have the internet.
Uh-huh. Wow. And what does the internet say about it?
It says that it dates from the early days of The Slip.
Yeah. It was one of the last songs that I wrote for The Slip. And we did try and record it. There was a session that The Slip did around 2008, 2009. And a lot of those songs I hope to release sometime in the next couple of years. I've been saying that for years now. Yeah, Love Ain't Enough was one that the Barr Brothers plucked from that sort of, you know, the concepts of the Slips stuff. And it does feel different than a lot of the other tunes. It's got this sort of epic quality and sort of explosive, more electric thing, I guess. But I find it works really well with this group.
And will there be more The Slip?
More Slip? I can't say. The Slip never officially started, so it never officially ended either.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'd say most likely.
Well, it has been great to have you guys back. It's nice to see you, and the new album is absolutely fantastic, so congratulations. Can we hear one more tune?
Yeah, and thanks for having us in the studio, Eric. Always nice to come to Ashland. We love this town. We have a lot of great history and good memories here in Ashland. This last song's called Even the Darkness Has Arms.
I was holding my breath when a tightrope walker slipped into the moon glow, saying, "All my children, follow me. Maybe it's time to go. You can be chrome when you're wise, can be wise when you're blue. And baby, if I have, then I have for you." I'm bribing the jury to keep me in jail, singing tea for the tiller man. And although I lie fantastically, swore an oath on my history, it's a miracle I can see. You can be wrong when you're right, even when you're right on cue. And if I die tonight, well then I die for you. Calling on those that call me son, great grandson or grandson, great uncles, aunts and relatives, to judge what I have done. Gonna make a ride by you, even if it's all I do. And if it's all I do, then I do for you. The water and the windmill. And although I step chaotically, it hurts no one but me. Even the darkness has arms, but they ain't got you. And baby, I have it, and I have you too. And a light in the winter to pass the night through. Maybe so uncertain, what can I do? Keeping it on, keeping it on. But what does that prove? Sometimes I worry I don't know how to love you. I bring to you with reverent hands all the books that my love abides. Kind woman that my passion wore, like the shoreline wears the tides. Maybe the water went dry, keeping an eye on you. And an eye on you, it could drown to me too. People will raise a whole lot of hell about the water and the windmill. And although I step chaotically, swore an oath on my history, it's a miracle I can see. Even the darkness has arms, but they ain't got you. Baby, I have it, and I have you too. And a light in the window to pass the night through. Maybe so uncertain, what can I do? Keeping it on, keeping it on. And I know I like it, but what does that prove? Sometimes I worry I don't know how to love you.
Even the Darkness Has Arms. That is the Barr Brothers live on Jefferson Public Radio. It's music from their new release called Sleeping Operator. Guys, thanks again for coming by to visit with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.